Okay, so the story goes on in the Agadata that so the approach of the Rabbanim was to to seal the gates of Yerushalayim, and the three rich men would provide sustenance that could last up to 21 years, and then, you know, it'd be a war of perseverance. They'll just outlast the Romans, right? Except that they fell into a clash with the Birionim. I guess one could best transition that is ruffians, right? The riffraff, that were warmongers. They thought it was like a cowardly thing to do. They wanted to go out and fight, right? So the Rabbanans, warned them that, we perceive with our Ruach HaKodesh that there's a divine edict against Yerushalayim, and we have to wait it out until the din is over, persevere past this time when we're, under the midah of din. Right? We just have to persevere, because, and if we attack the Romans now, try to match them might for might, we will lose. Because right now there's tremendous divine judgment on Yerushalayim, so lo istaimus, it won't work, right? The Rabbanans would have been also satisfied to make some type of diplomatic, settlement with the Romans, but, the zealots, the ruffians wouldn't allow it. So there's this, deadlock, the stalemate in how to conduct the affairs of Yerushalayim. The Rabbanan wanted either to make a settlement with the Romans and or, just persevere, right? And the ruffians wanted to go out and make war. So the ruffians to enforce that the Jewish people would have no recourse except go out to war and burnt down these tremendous storehouses of these three rich men and created terrible, terrible hunger in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara goes on to explain an example of the hunger that resulted, right? And Gemara tells the story of Marta Bas Baisus, Marta the daughter of Baisus, who was from the richest people in Yerushalayim, fantastically wealthy, right? And goes through great detail to explain how her wealth did her no good, and she died mainly because she was starving to death. It was what made her very vulnerable to what ultimately killed her, which we'll explain in our next session. What I want to do now is go through how the Gemara describes the story of how she came down to a terrible level of hunger. That she like you said, she was fantastically wealthy, and she sends her servant to the marketplace to buy her smida, to buy her bread made of, very, very fine flour, so cakes, very luxurious food that she was very accustomed to eating. So her servant goes, comes back and says it's all sold out, but there's still white bread. All right, so it's not, cakes or whatever, but it's, So, okay, go, buy for me. And by the time he gets there, he says, sold out. So, all right. But there is black bread, less refined wheat bread. Okay, go, get it for me. Now, after that, he goes, that's a very coarse bread. All right, go bring it. Right? Because I says, well, that's sold out, but if you want, there's still, barley. So go bring that. He goes, by the time he goes out there, it was also all sold out. Right? As I said, every time he went for a particular item, after getting her consent to get that item, right, by the time he gets there, it's all sold out. And the Gemara goes through all the steps that there's nothing left to buy, to eat. And she feels tremendous hunger, and she walks out, without shoes, the streets of Shire, just searching for anything to eat. I'm going to stop the narrative, the story here, and just go back to analyze, this most simple, basic point. Like, what type of moron is this servant, right? So he goes and he sees it sold out. He knows his mistress is starving to death, Why is he just by his own initiative go buy, the next best thing or whatever there is? Like, why is he so lacking in intelligence? He goes there, comes back. Well, there isn't that. But if you want to go back, why don't you just buy it straight away? His mistress is starving. But the truth is, she also, she didn't give him a dice, say, buy whatever you find. He said, should I get you this? Okay. Like, also, why didn't she say, just buy whatever you can before it's too late? It just doesn't make sense. All right, so the Maharal, without mentioning the question, immediately gives us the answer and says that this whole story is to prove to us that Yerushalayim, which is God's city, cannot be ever conquered or in any way brought down by natural causes or any invading army. It's God's city, and it was destroyed by an act of God, like we've said already a few times in this series. Right? It's God's city, so it's destroyed purely by God's decree. No force other than God himself could overtake Yerushalayim. And this story illustrates that point, that was by pure divine decree, right? That this hunger, manifested itself in Yerushalayim and took the tremendous toll that it took. It was purely by divine decree. For although we said that the zealots, the ruffians, burnt down the storehouses, but nonetheless, that was just a guise for God's decree to manifest itself. But it's God's decree that caused the hunger in Yerushalayim. And Amaral goes on to describe that if you would have been there, you would have seen that it would have looked like a coincidence, like that the very fine cakes are sold out, but there's like an abundance of the next best thing. Right? A person coming to the supermarket would have sensed that, okay, the particular item he was looking for some strange reason, is sold out, but the shelves are full of the next best thing. Right? Even making you wonder that there's like no rush to get something less than what you originally wanted. So that's why it goes back to him. He says, what he said, there still is white bread. He meant to say the shelves are full of white bread. Like, literally, do you want to, you're accustomed to the fancy cakes. Should we wait for that to come back? It really didn't look like there was any impending shortage of white bread. The shelves were full of everything else. But then he goes back and, for reasons that are incomprehensible, what a minute ago was full, and now it's all sold out. Like a real negative miracle, miraculously for Jewish people's, to Jewish people's liability, to Jewish people's deficit, right? There's like miraculously none left when the shelves were full, only an hour before. All right, but the shelves are full with black bread, full with the very coarse bread, full with the barley, right? It doesn't look like, those things are vanishing anytime soon. So he goes back and say, look, there's plenty of the other stuff. Do you want it now? Or, are you really ready to accept it? Or do you want to wait a little bit more before you settle for these coarser foods you're not accustomed to? No, I'm really hungry. Bring it now. And so straight he goes back, and then it's gone. Right? Like, for reasons that, logic can't explain, the shelves were full a very short time before, and now it's vanished. And it got sold out like that. And this whole process going on is to show that the hunger that there was in Yerushalayim was by pure divine decree. Like, the zealots can't topple Yerushalayim. In essence, they were just like the guys that God's decree was hiding behind. But in essence, not the zealots on the inside, not the Romans on the outside. No one could topple Yerushalayim. God himself has to decree that Yerushalayim fall in order for Yerushalayim to fall, because it's his city. And you see that this hunger that resulted was a hunger that was fueled by a pure divine decree, because it was just supernatural how the hunger manifests itself, that from one second plentiful to the next second, you know, nothing of what you were looking for, but plenty of what you're not looking for. And the minute you go to look for it, it disappears. It looks like it got sold out, you know, in a supernatural pace. Right? This all is to show that it's the divine decree made the hunger, not the Zealots and not the Romans made the hunger of Yerushalayim.